We're now starting Simon Kufya Dalad, which is Dine Sheikhar Ushar Mashkin Shal Obed Kochavim. Certainly very relevant for those who are in the business world about drinking alcoholic beverages, beer in particular, with non-Jews. So it's based on Sugiz and Avodah Zarah, and the Mechaber says, Kol Sheikhar Shal Obed Kochavim, all types of beer made by non-Jew, Echad Sheikhar Shal Tamarim, whether it's made from dates, Oshel te'enim, if it's made from figs, Oshel sa'orim, made from barley, Oshel tvua, any other type of grain, Oshel dvash, there are many types of beer. The beer that we have made of hops, made from beer, or rather barley, but there are many forms of beer you can make with other products. So everything's really captured in this Shulchan Aruch here. All of it is aser, mishum chasnus, again, the same thing we've been learning in the simanim, there's a concern of intermarriage, so therefore it's aser to have beer. Here's a leniency. It's only aser if you're drinking it in the place where they sell it, namely the bar, the tavern, the cafe perhaps. Aval im hevi hasheichar lebeso. If you bring it home to your house, you buy in the bar, the tavern, the lounge on the way home, you bring it to your own house, v'shosei, you drink it in home, sham, mutter, that's permitted, she'ikar agzera shema yisod etzlo. The whole concern is you might end up feasting with them, eating in their home, eating in their places where they hang out, in their lounges, and leads to relationships. So then, she'adam koveya b'shtia, sorry, v'lo asu ela kisha koveya atzmo l'shos k'derach she'adam koveya b'shtia. So there's another important leniency here. It's also only asur when a person's koveya himself in the way you drink b'shtia. So I'm not sure what that means, how you koveya b'shtia. I don't know, sitting at the bar, I don't know what would qualify. About im nichnas b'beis over kochavim v'shasa derach harai b'akrai mutter. So this is very, very important. You go into the place to drink it, arai, which is, arai is not a kvi, it's not a lot. And bakrai is once in a while, then it's mutter. So this might be a very important heter if a person goes to a holiday party. The one time a year they hang out with the non-Jews in the bar, let's say, so that would be if they drink just one shot, let's say, or one beer, that would be considered arai bakrai. That would be just a small amount, and also very infrequent, that would be a possible heter for going to a holiday party. Forget the inyanim of holiday. It's just at least, just an office party, whatever time of year. It could be in the summer even. So then there might be a heter, since it's derech arai and bakrai. V'chein, mi... Not that really soft. Yeah, it's, you have to ask someone who knows. As we'll see, many would say stay far away from any heterim, but if you need, sometimes if it's going to be, hey, Mikey, why aren't you drinking here? And I know you drink beer. If it's going to create Ava, so then you could rely on this. If you could get away with drinking a soda or a water or something else, so then that would certainly be the best. But otherwise, you could rely on Derech Harai Be'akrai, it seems. V'chein mi shalon bebeis ha'oved kochavim chashiv kebeis. A person, let's say, sleeping over in a hotel. In the hotel, there's a bar down below. So that hotel becomes like his house. Umuter l'shloach be'ir liknos sheichar me'ha'ovedei kochavim. So now, even though you're not living at home, but you're staying overnight, so that hotel becomes your house, and you could send out to people to bring beer to your house, even though it's in a non-Jewish home. So I'm not sure exactly what that circumstance will be, but it would be something like in a hotel that you're staying in, that might be considered based on. There might be a heter there, but unclear whether it's really the same exact model as a hotel.
Like a weekend bar mitzvah.
Like a weekend bar mitzvah. So the Rama writes now, V'yesh matirin b'sheicha shadvash utfua. So this is a very, very important kula. He says there are those who permit to have beer that's made of honey. I don't know what types of beers are out there. Can you buy these types of beers other than made of hops? Can you buy a wheat-based beer, a honey-based beer?
Tons,
really? Okay. I thought they're different flavors, but I never knew they came from different sources. They're just different ways that they made it. But okay, I don't know. And that's the practice the Rama says to be lenient in this regard. So that means Yesh Matirin, he says, with Tvua. Tvua would include beer, to include hops, the classic beer that we have, that would be permitted. So if we walk away right now from this Rama, it sounds like there's never a problem with any beer, and it doesn't even mention here any alcoholic beverages. So now, look at a very, very important Pre-Chadash here. Actually, before we do Pre-Chadash, let's do quickly the Shach Sifkatan Aleph. The Shach says Sifkatan Aleph, Ve'eno Aser El B'Mokum Mechira. So it's only Aser to drink it in the place where they sell it. V'ein lesser mishum bishuli of dechachavim. Ah, won't there be concern that they cooked and boiled up the beer? There is no problem. The aser b'chol inyan k'dil'el l'fisha eino ol al shulchan malachim. You don't serve beer at a king's table, at a state dinner, so therefore it's not aser mishum bishul akum. The ode, another reason why beer is not subject to bishul akum, d'chi heichi d'atvua b'teila l'gavi mayim l'inin bir chashakol. And what bracha do you say on barley, on beer? You say shakol. Why don't you say hat mizonos? Isn't it made from barley or whatever other grains you're using? So you say no, since there's more water in it, the water is mevatel the barley that's there. So leinin bircha shakol niya bedvaro. So hachanami but lo leinin iser bishulchan bishul iser. It's also there's no iser bishul akum. So that's why the bishul akum is not a concern.
Why is it no problem with something that gives
time? We don't apply that by bishul akum tam but kicker. It's based on rov. So look at the Taz and
Sif. Like,
very good. I believe Tosus gives that other answer as well. It's only called Zaya. He doesn't quote that line, but I think you're right. I think Tosus does say that, make that suggestion. Now look what the Taz writes in Sifkat and Beis. Ella b'makom mechiraso. It's only usher to drink the beer in the place where it's sold. Ubipas hichmiru tfei. So when it comes to bread, we said you can buy bread and bring it to your house and eat it. How come beer you could bring it home and eat drink the beer, but bread you can't bring home to eat the bread? So again, just keep in mind, we're not concerned with kashrus. We're assuming everything's kosher. All the material you could ascertain that every ingredient is kosher. It's a concern of the mishum chasnus. So beer you could bring home and drink, but bread you can't. What's the difference? So Taz writes, Ki ala pas yichya adam, people rely on bread. That's the source of the staple of their meal. Ubai richuk tvei, it requires more distance since bread is a typical meal. Lefisha also kirv tvei, it's going to create more of a relationship. As opposed to the beer, now one could certainly argue, but as opposed to beer, which is not the staple of a person's meal, it won't necessarily lead to as much kirv as bread would. Okay, now look at the Pri Chadash now on the side. The Pri Chadash writes, "V'yesh matirin b'sheicha shel dvash u'tvua, lo nimtza l'shum mechaber sheyatir b'hedya sheicha shel tvua." So the Rama writes, "You're allowed to have beer made from tvua." The Pri Chadash says, "I didn't find any mechaber, any author that permitted sheicha shel tvua." Ella, she'amordechai kasev b'sheim Avi ha'ezri, the sheicha shelanu ein bo mishum chasnus. The Mordechai quotes a position that our beer is not subject to chasnus. Ubir of Beis Yosef Shetama. His reasoning is Mishum Destam Sheicha Shebatalmud Hu Shel Tamar. When they speak of beer in the Gemara, it was made from dates. So that was the initial gzera was regarding Sheicha Shel Tamar. We make Sheicha Shel Seorim. That wasn't included in the initial gzera. Avalo Shaminim Acherim. Ulefize Lashon Haga the Rama Ein Meduktak. Dimashba didafka b'sheicha dvash utvua matirin v'lesa. Dehavle lememar shebechol sheicha matirin chutz m'sheicha tmarim. Fine. Umikol makom, says the Bichadash, svarazu einam mechaveres klal, doesn't make any sense, it's logic. Chada, number one is, dehag gemara sheicha stama kamar. When the gemara says sheicha, it doesn't say sheicha shetmarim, it says stam sheicha. That seems to include all types of beer. Mashba dechol min sheicha asu. V'od, moreover, Sharei Rav Papa Mocher Sheicha Tamarim Hava. Rav Papa was a beer seller and brewer, I guess. Because the Parish Rashi, but so Perik Kol, I'm not sure which one that is. Ubigmar Aminan de Rav Papa Mafkilei Ababa de Chanusa Vashasi. And he would leave the store, the tavern, to drink. The Akar Chazem Min Sheicha Achesh Lo Hayalo. It must have been another type of min. Meaning what? Rav Papa, he was a brewer. He made beer. So why do you have to go to some other store to buy another beer? Sounds like they didn't only have beer made from Tamarim, they had other types of Minim as well. And it was all Bechlal, the same Isser. Alma, Dechol Min Sheicher Asu Chachamim Mishim Chasnus Vechein Das Ka Poskim Ulefize, according to this, HaMekel B'Sheicher Shotvua Over Al Divrei Chachamim V'Roi Legaro Shekol Min Sheicher Asur. Those who Mekel and say, ah, there's a Ramah that says you could have beer made of barley. You could have our beer, Bizman Hazeh. They're incorrect, and they're blatantly violating a Gzeres Chachamim, and you should reprimand them for doing so. So there is no heter for drinking beer while in the base of a Chachamim.
Practically, there would, what
actual difference between the gate beer and any other beer. There's seemingly the same thing.
Why would you ever have a chilek?
Why would there be a distinction? So the idea is, when it comes to gzeiros that
Chachamim
made, if the issue is gzeiros full of chasness, why would there be more chasness with date beer than with...
Correct. So logically you're correct that there is not, either one's going to foster a relationship. But the reason is, whenever the Chachamim make a gzeira, that gzeira was limited to that time and place, whatever was in existence. So there's a few like interesting gzeiras the Gemara has, that even though it would be logical to extend it to another application, since the initial gzeira was because it was motivated by a certain particular case, so only those details are part of that gzeira. That would be the thought process. And we can't add on to gzeiras nowadays. But the Pichadash certainly gets rid of that. The Chai Adam as well has a very strong language about this. Even if you can acknowledge that the Rama is makil by these types of beers, misvara, one should not. You should stay far away from drinking beer or any other alcoholic beverages with non-Jews in their base over the Chachavim. Now, look what he says further in the Pichadash. About mashkim shel shar peros mutarim. Other types of fruit drinks, orange juice, apple juice, soda, all that is permitted. But according to this, mutter lishos hakave, which is coffee, bebeis oved kochavim, afal pi she'eino nechal kemoshu chai, even though it's not eaten raw, you're still allowed to eat it. It's not a problem of bishakum, and it's not a problem of drinking with non-Jews. Coffee is permitted. Now, if you look over, go back to the first page, if you look at the Pischei Tshuva, though, the Pischei Tshuva argues on the coffee part. The Pischei Tshuva, if you look at Sif Katan Aleph, just jump to the last three lines of Sif Katan Aleph, it says at the end of the line, Aval Bekave, or coffee, in Yano, Ro's, our eyes could see, She'ol al Shulchan Malachim, you'll go to any fancy meal, there's going to be coffee, it's going to be a coffee station, that's no question about that. So it is Ol al Shulchan Malachim, and it's also not Nechal Chai, it's not eaten raw, so you have to cook it, so that would of course be an issue of Bishalakim. Umizamne alayu, people invite you over for a drink of coffee. Let's meet for coffee. Lachein roy lebal nefesh lo lishos coffee o tea may oved kocham. You should not drink coffee or tea from oved kochavim. So he seems to be grappling with two different issues here. There's one issue of bishul akum, but there's another issue of drinking with non-Jews. Now, in terms of bishul akum, he thinks it's bishul akum because of it's not nechachai, and it's also olal shulchan malachim. But we discussed yesterday, similar to the case of beer, that coffee is not really, it's mostly water. And oftentimes the beans already are, the powders are already pre-cooked. So there's no cooking thing on right now. It's just boiling water, which is certainly permitted if din bishul akum, and mixing a coffee grind with it, that would seemingly be fine of bishul akum. But he seems to also be concerned with it just simply, socializing with non-Jews in a cafe, that would seemingly be a problem. Now, I don't think this has been accepted. Halach l'maisa, obviously many people with clients and with coworkers do have coffee together. It's part of building relationships. It's part of dealing with business. I don't think people are makbid on this, but it's something to keep in mind. A person's at a place in life and business where he's able to put in such restrictions. It's certainly something to keep in the back of your mind, this Pischei Tshuva. Okay. Oh yeah, if you want to get to, we're not doing the kashas right now. Kashas reasons, you're correct. When it comes to Starbucks or any other cafe, certainly there are other issues of having other types of things there, non-kosher flavors, and they could be serving meat there. So I know people are makel, some people make with Starbucks. Lanis IT, I think it's a lot of coolers that people are relying on to allow for it, to the Starbucks. I personally wouldn't recommend it, those are my own thoughts. Okay. We could skip, may as well read Sif Beis, even though it's not so nogeya. Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mokom she Yisrael noagin kula, b'yayin she'ovid kochavim, af ha-shecher aser. So if you're in a place where the Jews are makel lagabi wine, non-Jewish wine, which they shouldn't be, but they just happen to be makel, they don't really care for that iser of yayin esech, so then even the beer that from these Jews you shouldn't drink either. Okay, not so nogeya. The Sif Gimel, he says, Yain tapuchim, yain rimonim, if it's like apple cider, I guess, or wine made from pomegranate, v'kayotiben, or mutter lishtosa, b'kol makom, that you could drink anywhere. The davar shenu matzah lo gazu alav. So these things, it's very uncommon to have a wine, apple-based wine or a pomegranate-based wine. So even though it might be alcoholic, since it's eino matzah, we know that b'makom shchicha lo gazrinan, something that's infrequent, they never instituted a gezeira. So this was not bechlal the gezeira. It's similar to what you were asking about the sheikha shel seorim. It wasn't eino matzah at the time when they made the gezeira, so it wasn't part of the gezeira in the first place. Okay, now Siv Dalid, he says, Kol elu hamashkim v'chein nachomet shel shecher asa l'knosa mehem. All types of drinks and vinegar from barley is going to be asa, you can't buy from them. Im dimeyem yikarim midme hayayin. If the value of the beer is more expensive than wine, shenu choshishin shema ir ben yayin. So again, this is a tricky discussion, but there's important principles here of how much nemanis you have on a person who owns a store. Now, they advertise they're selling beer only. Are you concerned they may have switched it with wine? They could have put pig fat in it. How do you know? Where's the trust? So nowadays, we really don't trust anyone without there being hashkacha, since we have, it's not hard to find, we have plenty of food. Now, back in Europe, where we didn't have no such thing as kashrus, so you need to eat. You couldn't just go to a store and find hashkacha. So you have to rely on certain kulas and certain trust in the owners. So how do you know whether or not it's really pure beer as they advertise, or maybe they put some wine in it, which would tray for everything up? So what?
I realize now, even nowadays, when you go to Europe, it's...
Okay, it could be other places as well. Could be.
It's very difficult. I'm saying here, we just used to hashkachos. There, there's no hashkachos. I mean, uh-huh. It's just very...
Okay, so even nowadays, there are places we have to rely on these principles. So he says, one of the ways you tell is, what is more expensive? If the trafe item is cheaper than the item he's selling, so he may have put some of that treif wine in it to save himself some cost, and then filling up with beer. That's one way to know. Ad she'en shishim lebatlo. So bamed dvar mamur. When is this all true? Kishemochin bechanis. When you're selling in a store. Aval im roeh shemotzino so bechavis smotel. Let's say they're taking it fresh from the barrels where the beer is being made. They're taking it straight from the whatever you call it, the tap. So the keg, the tap of the beer, straight from there. So then it's permitted because, while they are letting the beer process, they weren't putting any wine in. So if they took it from below where they had all these prepackaged beers, or whatever, then you're not sure. But if it's straight from the keg, so then there's no chashash, they mixed with something else. And also, v'lo chashinon shem ha'ir bo yayin, shim haya ma'ari yayin b'chavis, haya miskalkel. Had they placed the wine in there, so then they would have ruined the beer. They would never do that. That's part of the nemanis. Now, this also comes up. There are other simanim which are not here, but they discuss about places like Starbucks or wherever there's a franchise, Carvel or Dunkin' Donuts. Exactly. Any place that have a franchise where if they are not following the rules and they're caught, they could lose the franchise. So then that's a certain amount of nemanis they have. There's that fear that they have that they could lose the franchise. That's, according to a number of poskim, that's enough for you to rely on. Now, what other poskim will say, that's great, but we have plenty of other kosher places to go to that have a better hashkacha than rely on the fear factor of a franchise. So that's always a debate. If you go to a place in France where there's a franchise and you have no other food to eat, so then maybe there's what to rely on. So that's the kind of the back and forth here. So this is similar. No store owner would mix their beer with some other type of food that may ruin the taste and flavor. Now, look at this next line here. This is really interesting. The Rama writes, "Afal pi shiragilin limshoach hayoros vakelim b'shuman chazir." Even though they would normally line the vats, they line the kegs with a layer of pig fat with lard. Ein lachush, there's no problem to have a nesinas tam lifgam gam batav shishim. Firstly, that gives bad flavor to it. It's only there because they don't want to ruin the kalim. It's supposed to be as a protective, like we have on like the pans, that coat, so it doesn't ruin the kalim. They would use lard, so it doesn't ruin the kalim. Or in the keg, so it doesn't ruin the keg. So that's not there. It actually doesn't give good flavor. And on top of that, it's batav shishim. So this is very nogeya for a person who buys a seasoned grill. If you have a seasoned grill, they all come with some level of oil and fat that's on top of it. Now, you don't know what's on it. There's no mashkiach there. You might call them up. They'll tell you it's vegetable oil. Could you trust them? Maybe you can. I don't know. Is it all? Is it? Do they always use vegetable oil? Is it really from corn? Is it really from whatever they're using? Or is it pig? I don't know what's more expensive. You know, if pig lard is more expensive than vegetable oil, then likely they're going to use the vegetable oil. It's cheaper. But let's say they ran out and they had a whole run going through, and then they couldn't find vegetable oil, so they splurged to buy lard instead. So maybe your grill has a pig fat. Who knows? So maybe you can rely on the fact that it snows in Tam Lefgam. Now, what does seasoned grilled mean? The seasoned grill sometimes actually puts flavored in it. Now, it's trying to be no sin tam, supposed to put good flavor into the grilling. So these are very important questions. Most of the grills you buy nowadays have a layer of fat on it, a layer of oil, so it doesn't rust. They do it so it shouldn't rust. It's a big shiloh, back and forth. Oh, you has, I think, a whole article online about this. It's very nogeh, halach lemaisa. If you try to wipe it down, you can't wipe it down either. It doesn't come off. Like, you could get layers of it, but there's always going to be something left of that fat. If you burn it well in fire, that might be the only way to get rid of any of that, the remnants of the fat that's on it. So I'm not saying the treif. I'm just saying this is a discussion. This would be a source of the Ramah to discuss the topic of seasoned grills.
Just because, you know, it seems to me that should be treif, unless you want to rely on Patel B'Shishim or one of these.
Correct.
But other, I mean, you could buy, if you need to, you could buy a grill that says it's been seasoned for I mean, ostensibly, I think it's typically seasoned for flavor.
So I believe there are different types. If you ask different people, there are different things. I have a grill. They told me they do it for rust purposes. Doesn't add any flavor. So it's really hard to know. It's a tough topic. Each one is different. Each grill is different, and you'll get different answers depending who answers the phone. So it's really hard to know.
You
don't have to. But even a non-seasoned grill has a layer of oil or fat on it. Who knows?
Anyway, so, there was advice to turn around and leave it for, because there was a residue on the top. Meaning,
the first time to use it.
The first time to use it.
But even after that, it's still there, yeah. You try to wipe it down, I try like with a paper towel, there's always some level of like oil that's still there and stuck there. So again, if it's not advertised as seasoned, so unlikely it's there to be seasoned, but they still put it there just so it doesn't rust as quick. So it's not so pashut. But based on this Ramah here, it sounds like you can rely on the fact that if it doesn't give any flavor to it, and it's a very small amount, it could be batel b'shishim. Okay. Furthermore, just to finish your Ramah, the Ramah writes, Gam ein lachush im nasnu mashkin elu b'kelim shayayin. Yosef's not concerned they may have switched with different kelim. Okay, we'll discuss that at a different point. Let's now go to the next sif hey. Yain rimonim shemochen lirfua. If you're selling some type of pomegranate juice, for the purposes of refuah, muter lilakcha me'atagar afilu shlo me'achavis. You could buy from the pharmacist, even though he's not taking straight from the keg. So shouldn't there be chashash if it's from the keg? So we know it's for sure yain rimonim. He's not going to play around with it when it sits in the keg. He doesn't want to ruin the flavor. But there's a certain kula the mechaber says, even if it's not coming straight from the keg, he has it in the back somewhere. He may have put some other ingredient in there. You could still be makel. Even though the yain rimonim, the pomegranate juice, is more expensive than wine, it's possible he wanted to raise the volume to put some wine in it to fill up the cup a little bit. There's such a chashash. So he says, Mishum de kevan de isbek peda lo mara nafshe. So this is a very important line as well. Since there's kpeda, people will be upset if he switches it around, so he's concerned that he might get a bad name, a bad reputation. He's opened up a store, and someone uncovers what he's trying to do, that he's switching, substituting certain ingredients with cheaper ingredients here. He's not giving what he promises to give. That could ruin his reputation, so that could be Maranafshe. We would trust him. So that's like the franchise acceptance. Now, what the Shulchan Aruch says, this is even going so far in a guy whose personal store. He doesn't have that franchise over him. But we see there is some level of fear factor here that you can rely on, at least with regards to refuah. V'chein, says their ma, v'chein kol davar shekonim min ha'uman delo mara nafshe. So he really expands it, not only when it comes to the world of refuah and pharmacists, but any item you're buying from a professional, he doesn't want to have a bad reputation, so if he says he's selling something, you have to trust him. Now, if that's the case, that really you know, there's no need for a mashkiach anymore. We should trust everyone. So I must have mentioned this in the past when I was in, I went to Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. Had been the first time I'd been there like 8 years before that. And I was walking, it was Erev Shabbos, I was very hungry looking for a place on Emek Rafam. When growing up, going there in Israel, Emek Rafam was like empty, but now it's like the hotter place. I was walking, I wanted to know, to get some bagel or something to eat before Shabbos, so I was starving. And someone who I knew happened to be pulling up right next to me, and I said, oh, maybe you could help me, what, I don't know what the hashkachas are, who do I trust, this one, that one. He says, what do you mean, just go into any store, and they're all Jewish, so you can trust anyone, right? Eid Echa Neman B'Yisurim, the guy's a Talmud Chacham. You could trust him. He's an Eid Echad. I said, yeah, it's very nice with alumnus and all, but we know nowadays you can't trust any Eid Echad in a store. If I go to a guy's house, it's another story, but the guy's making money off it. You can't trust the guy because if he had a, you know, whole thing of meat sold and it all went bad, he doesn't want to make his customers unhappy. So he very well might go to the store down the block which sells treif meat and sell it to make sure his customers are happy and make money. You can't trust any guy. So we're going back and forth, and then in the end, he left, and I had to call someone else up to find out what a good hashkach is. But he, according to the Shulchan Aruch, any professional, any store owner, doesn't want to have a bad reputation if he's caught selling something that's treif, so you can rely on him. But again, I think this halacha has become obsolete, bizman hazeh.
The point is that you can taste it. You can taste it, the difference. So he's not gonna put in the wrong ingredient. If you could taste it, you could say it's vinegar or wine. I'm saying it's not just
again, anything you could could be. I'm not sure if that's a distinction here. I don't know if that's.
No, that's what he's saying.
I don't know that he didn't say that.
It's Yanya Rimonish.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that because you could taste it necessarily. But there's such
what's
a spark exists.
What's he doing with the yayin rimonim?
He's filling it up. It's a taste similar to yayin rimonim. The yayin that he has is similar to the pomegranate juice. And maybe he could get away, no one will catch him. And if someone catches him, he's going to ruin his reputation. But you could be right. It could be about taste. You don't know. As opposed to treif meat and kosher meat, the way they're shechted, you obviously can't tell the difference in the taste of them. So that's not mentioned here in the post at all, but I hear the spark. Okay, let's just finish one last sif. Sif Zion here. The Mechaber writes that shemen v'dvash shel oved kochavim mutarim, oil and honey from a non-Jew is mutter. V'edem ne'asar mishum bishul oved kochavim, there is no chashash of bishul akum, v'lo mishum giuli oved kochavim, we're not concerned with the pots either that are being used. V'huadin l'mayim shechamim shelahem, also if they boiled up water, these two are not subject to bishul akum. If you just take a quick look over at the shach sifkat in yud, Huadin Lamaim Khamin Shalahem, Shain Behem Mishum Bishuli Ovdi Khacham Shinechon Chayin, because we know water, of course, is edible raw when it's not boiled. So when it is boiled, there is no chashash of Bishakum. Maybe next week, maybe tomorrow night rather, we'll discuss more about Shemen. There's a lot of interesting halachas about the olive oil and where to buy from, whether it needs a hashkacha, what could be mixed up with. So let's stop here, but maybe we'll pick up with this again tomorrow night. Okay, I think we have a minute. Looking good for a minute?